That was awesome. Thank you so much. In order for the infinite presence to appear to man as whatever man needs, it must diversify and assume an infinite variety of forms. The infinite presence is always one, as sunlight is one. But when sunlight passes through raindrops, it assumes the colors of the rainbow. Similarly, in answering man's need of the moment, the oneness of the divine presence can assume many forms, yet at the same time remain one and undivided from its source. For instance, though the sun's light, which appears to us as white and colorless, is broken up or refracted by the water in the raindrops and appears to us as the beautiful colors of the rainbow, nevertheless, this light, which is appearing to us as red and green, blue or orange, is still the same light that we see as colorless. It does not for one moment cease to be white light in order to diversify itself and appear to our eyes as the colors of the rainbow. Without this colorless white light, which is the real cause of the rainbow, there would be no rainbow at all. The colorless sunlight retains its integrity, its oneness with itself, and its oneness with its source, no matter what it appears to be for the moment. We need to remember this, for it reveals to us a number of important truths. Remember what Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Think of this in a literal way for just one moment. If the thing called light has this wonderful quality of always being itself, always remaining one with its source, and we are light, then we too have this same quality. No matter in what form we are appearing, male or female, no matter what color our skin is, no matter what our nationality is, or our religion is, or even if we have no religion, we still remain one with our source. No matter that we seem to be but one of the billions of manifestations of light called man, and separated by the limitations and boundaries of a physical form from everyone else of these billions of manifestations, we are still connected to the same source of our origin as they are. You and I can appear to be separate and distinct identities from each other, but this does not alter the fact that at every single moment we exist, and even have the power to think of ourselves as separate identities, only because the same life and the same intelligence that is in every other identity is enabling us to do this. The idea that we are completely separate from and completely independent of all other identities that we perceive must therefore be misleading, illogical, and untrue. Not only do we live by a continuous importation of life, of the life force from the same source, as all others do, and all that we perceive. Not only do we depend moment by moment for our continued existence upon the same air, which we all use and reuse over and over again in common, but we all share the same impulses, the same central desires, the same overruling motives, and even passions, as do the other billions of identities. We seek to protect our body from harm. We seek to satisfy our fundamental needs. We strive to protect our ego from humiliation or hurts to our self-esteem. They too have this ever in their minds. We are always looking, longing for someone to value and cherish us, and assure us of our worth to them. They too are searching, seeking, dreaming, sometimes desperately, even violently, striving to have this experience happen to them. We feel lost, separated from our source, and so do they. What a world of meaning, then, these words of Jesus have for us. You are the light of the world. If we are that marvelous thing called light, which cannot for a moment exist apart from its origin, then we cannot ever, even by our own belief, be separated or detached from our source. Then, if we are this light, which is always one with its source, how can we, who think and feel and have experience only by reason of this light, use it to think and believe that we are something which this light never can be? How can we manage to hypnotize ourselves the way that we do? How can we walk around in the full and radiant light of divine intelligence and yet be firmly convinced that we are grasping and groping in the dark? How can we so deeply bury our innate memory of our real source, our real being, our real identity, and our real powers? The answer to this lies in the nature of mind itself. The same human intelligence that can remember any item of information or experience can also forget it. The same human mind that loses consciousness in sleep also awakens and resumes normal awareness. It does not change its essential identity or its powers by being either asleep or awake, by remembering or by forgetting. It merely exchanges one mode of functioning for another. No one can say with a certainty when the human race began its present mode of functioning. When did it begin thinking and believing itself to be divorced from its source origin, completely separate and distinct from all other manifestations of the one energy, the one power, and the one source? We cannot say, but it is a fact that we are this way. When we got this way, if at one time we were not this way, is beside the point. The only thing that matters now is what can we do about it. And the logic of being compels us to say that if we are at all times, at every point in time or location in space, one with and like the light, which can function in the rainbow in so many different colors, and yet remain itself as all colors in one, then we too have this capacity to function in many other and better ways. We can even change from our present way of believing the light is dark and oneness is separation. We can choose to function in new and better ways simply by believing that we can function in new and better ways. And once we do this, the bendable light that is in us, which assumes every form that we can perceive in earth or in heaven, will at once begin to show us, to our great delight, that we are not what we have mistakenly assumed ourselves to be. As the scripture statement says, joy comes in the morning. Not just in a literal sense when daylight comes, but in a spiritual sense when mind light comes. Anytime we see the light, doesn't it make us happy? And how the light loves to do this for us. If you are a good singer, don't you love to sing? If you are a skilled musician, don't you love to play? If you are a skilled mechanic, don't you love to fix things? If you are a gifted artist, don't you love to paint? What is this but the light that is really you, breaking into the rainbow colors of singing, playing, fixing things, or painting. Incessantly, the light longs to be its radiant, many-jeweled, many-faceted, infinitely beautiful, and loving and joy-bringing self, in us, as us, and through us. So why don't we let it? Why do we grope around blindfolded by our false beliefs and suffer and starve and even die? This question has been asked over and over again throughout the ages. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Asked Ezekiel. For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. And half a millennium later, we hear Jesus urging us to shed our burdens by joining up with him, teaming up with him, or turning in with him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now perhaps we shudder at the word yoke, remembering only its old age connotation of servitude or of beasts of burden linked to heavy loads. We ought instead to remember its true meaning as Jesus used it, that of being linked up, joined together with his miraculous power. The yoke was worn by oxen or horses, linked the power of the animal to the thing to be moved. By means of the yoke, the horse's power was linked with the wagon or the cart, and thus moved the load to where it was wanted. Why not think of the meaning of yoke as something that unites? In a literal sense, the yoke united the power of the animal with the vehicle to be moved, and placed traction provided under the command of the driver. When Jesus invited us to yoke up with him, perhaps he was thinking of yoke in the sense of yoga. Yoga is the Sanskrit word meaning union. The dictionary defines yoga as a practice involving intense and complete concentration upon something, especially the deity, in order to establish identity of consciousness with the object of concentration. Could it be that in this declaration, Jesus was inviting us to team up or link up with him by concentration in some form in order to establish identity of consciousness with the light of the world? Isn't this what we have lost and what we so desperately need to realize and know? That we too are the light that takes on all forms. You are the light of the world. We are right back where we began. The light does not stop being itself, though it takes its form as a rainbow, cloud, bird, bush, beast, or man. It is still the light of the world. We never cease to be our brilliant, radiant self, even though we seem to our own darkened perceptions to be little, to be isolated, to be blundering bits of humanity, lost, baffled, and frustrated. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness, said the Master. The same light that illuminates also casts shadows when its passage is obstructed. The world's mental darkness is really due to light, light that is resisted, light that is refused, because it contradicts our established, mistaken concepts. Our solutions interfere with our concepts, therefore we reject the solutions, said the illumined Sufi Samuel Lewis. How do we shut out the light? We shut it out by using it to form blinders and blinkers of false belief. How do we let the light in? One way is by accepting the invitation of the Master Consciousness, the Light Presence, the light of the world, to concentrate upon it until we regain consciousness of our oneness and essential identity with it. Anyone can do this simply by retiring within his own mind and declaring over and over for days or weeks or months or years if needed be the words, "I am the light of the world, and in me there is no darkness." Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Let us meditate upon the idea of our oneness with the light and with all the good that we now experience or desire. So please take a moment now to get comfortable in your seat. Rest your feet flat on the floor. Close your eyes and place your hands comfortably in your lap or at your side. And just relax for a moment, taking in a deep breath and letting it out slowly as we release all of the things of the world and rest in the peace and the holiness of this space. Let us let go of worrisome thoughts. Let us let go of any anger or resentment. Let us let go of jealousy, of fear, of struggle. Let us be still and quiet our mind. Let us be at peace. Be still and go deep within to the very center of your being, where our Father waits. He waits with open arms, unconditional love, and the greatest sense of peace. "Do I not fill heaven and earth?" says the Lord. Yea, God is the infinite everything which is everywhere now. God, as infinite everything, is in me, is transforming itself into me and appearing as me, moment by moment, breath by breath, pulse beat by pulse beat, and thought by thought. Everything of any nature whatsoever that I find good in my present experience is God transforming itself and appearing to me as this good. Everything of any form of good whatsoever that I desire can only be God, infinite everything, transforming itself and appearing to me as is this good that I desire. When I have this good and am enjoying it, it will still be God in manifestation as these things. Since all that I am and all that I have right now is God, infinite everything appearing to me as me or as something I possess, then I am infinite everything, and I possess infinite everything right now. And he said to them, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. If every form of good in the universe is the infinite everything, and I myself are a form of this infinite everything, then I must be one with every other form of good I can imagine or desire. I can never be separated or cut off from my good in any way, any shape, or any form. If I am one with all good and in every form of good, then I cannot, in reality, lack any form of good except in my own mistaken belief. I am the light of the world. By this light, I annul all false beliefs of lack. I see that I am one with good now. Therefore, I have it now in consciousness. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and you will. Even so, let it be. I accept my good now. My mind is filled with the goodness of God. I love to be, to have, and to express the goodness of God. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. I am grateful. I give happy thanks to the source of my being, for this is my way, and also the way, the truth, and the life of all things. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you his infinite, eternal, and unconditional love. You are the light of the world. Amen.